Help me welcome our speaker tonight, John from Langhorne.
Langhorne. No, that's fine. Hi, I'm John. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, John.
I guess I got to talk into this. Last time I was talking into a microphone, it was to a judge. So I'm a little nervous. I am from Langhorne, so like whoever gave you that information is correct. I live in Gilbertsville now. You know, being an alcoholic allowed me to see many places and move many times. But you know, none of them were what I ever thought they'd be. I'm super grateful for the people that are here right now. There's a lot of people that I know that came out to support, and couple people that I met a little bit ago that came out to support too, but you know, this is their group. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I guess we'll just jump right into it. So I'm John, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm a grateful recovering one. It's July 3rd, and not too long ago, I'd probably be out somewhere with a bunch of people planning my master plan to get obliterated and probably end up hating everybody that I was with there. And that's the mentality I had. I was never looking for a good time. You know what I mean? I was looking to escape myself, and that's always what I did when I drank. I grew up moving around a lot. My dad was constantly getting promotions and moving to different places. I was born in Chambersburg, PA. But I moved like every 2 years, so I had like the innate ability to be whatever you wanted me to be so I could find acceptance. And like hindsight, people say hindsight's 20/20, and you know, I did that always trying to become accepted without actually knowing who I am. Now, at a young age, like, you kind of don't know who you are already, but that trend and that pattern followed me my entire life. And so when I speak and when I share my story, the thing I'm doing up here, because we all have our individual stories, you know what I mean? But my purpose here is to illustrate the hopeless condition of mind and body. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm trying to do. And hopefully God's helping me, because, you know, by my own willpower, I'm absolutely nothing. You know, and that's time tested. That's just me running wild and self-will run riot. I mean, like, that's just what happens in my life. You know, I mess stuff up, and, I cause harm, I manipulate situations, and so hopefully I can, you know, describe in my own words and, you know, through God, that condition that I suffered from for a long time. Yes, I grew up really uncomfortable with myself. My father wasn't around a lot. I was always looking for that father figure, like someone to guide me, like teach me how to be a man. He was always working out on business trips. I have two older brothers. I was basically raised by my mother before my parents got a divorce or any of that. You know, she raised us, so it was a single mother household the whole time, even though I had a father. He was always around for the sporting events, you know, soccer, baseball, whatever. That was his thing. So he did teach me that. So yeah, we moved around a lot. The last time I moved, it was from Michigan to Langhorne. So there you go. There's that location. We figured it out. Yeah, my mom, you know, she got a bunch of settlement money from the divorce, and that's when I saw like coping mechanisms, you know what I mean? Cause I was unaware. I was 7, 8 years old. you know, but I saw through my mom, basically like the inability to cope with things without the help from, you know, a little bit of outside issues and a little bit of what we deal with. But you know, she did the best she could. And I had a huge resentment against my father for the longest time for, like what I saw my mother deal with, was basically the question of why, like, why did this happen to her? You know, why did he leave? Why did he cheat? This and that. And, so that's the first taste I got. Now, none of this stuff makes me an alcoholic or made me do the things I did, to escape myself. But, you know, growing up seeing that, I was like, okay, there's one solution. And there was plenty of solutions. I was saying this at a meeting last night. I said there, you know, I did have a solution at one point to escape myself and have a spiritual experience. And that's why they call it Wine and Spirits. That's why that store is called Wine and Spirits. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was our solution. It was the wrong one. And I was perfectly happy for a long time using the wrong solution. You know? Because in my insanity as an alcoholic, like, I could make anything comfortable. And I did. And I manipulated a lot of people, mostly my family, which, you know, I carried around a lot of regret and remorse for that for a long time. But yeah, I manipulated situations in order to live places, you know, I basically used as much as I could. And then when it was like, they're fed up, it's like, all right, well, I'll get better. I'll do a little bit better here, or I'll hide what I'm doing, or, you know, pay a little bit of rent or this or that or whatever it is that you wanted me to do. And, that's basically who I was, you know? I did a lot of drinking until I needed to stop, and then I could stop until I needed to drink again, you know? And, that's that hopeless condition, you know? I got to a point when I was at a young age, like, super uncomfortable with myself. You know, there was liquor in the basement in a liquor cabinet. You know, my mom lost the house in Langhorne, like, almost right away, because she realized that money doesn't really stretch that far. And, if you're not working, you can't buy a house that's $300,000, you know? And, so she lost that house. We moved to, you know, she rented out this smaller house. It was like a townhouse on Green Street in Langhorne. It's an alright street. But like, for the most part, my childhood was just like normal stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need anything. Like, I needed for nothing. You know, I might have had some clothes from Salvation Army that I wasn't too thrilled about going to school in. You know what I mean? I might have wanted things that other people had, other kids had. I might, wanted the girls, wanted the clothes, wanted the cars, could never have that either unless I bought it myself. Like, you know, just things I wanted. And that's me. And I feel like that describes us as a whole, as alcoholics. Like, you know, nothing's ever good enough. That's why one drink isn't good enough. And 1,000's too much, you know, or 1,000's never enough, or 1's too much, whatever we want to. We can't drink. But we want to. We certainly want to and be able to control it. But that's just not in our cards. And honestly, I couldn't have asked for anything more out of life. You know, things have happened in my life that I used to regret. And it got me to the point where I'm standing here pretty nervous, but willing to do this, you know what I mean? Because I've seen the jail cells, I've been through probation, I've paid for lawyers, I've been on the verge of like dying, basically, like drinking every single day until a court case, wanting to die, you know, like, and God's blessed me and carried me through that. My mom brought us to church like every Sunday, and you know, she tried to give us that little bit of religion, I guess, but it never stuck. And that makes it, like, everything started making sense when I started doing this program. You know what I mean? Like, it's not about religion, you know? It's about the spirituality. It's about, I could go to church every day and sing those hymnals and pray to God, but I never knew how to pray. And I never knew how to do anything except for want for myself. And, so yeah, anyway, let me digress and go back. Yeah, growing up was weird. I was never comfortable in my own skin. First time I touched alcohol, I had a couple shots, and then I finished half the bottle. And then I woke up in the basement after a blackout. And that's what it is every time, you know? It's just total oblivion. And I don't even know what I don't know what it was, you know? Maybe it was curiosity. I was probably uncomfortable in my skin as a young kid. I was a little overweight. And just, you know, it just multiplied tenfold from that day. I mean, ninth grade, failed math, went to summer school. My mom was like, oh, I'm going to drop you off at your grandma's because you're not living here anymore. And, I was just like, all right. Yeah, that's pretty solid. Thanks, Mom. My grandma quickly called her back because I don't think she wanted to deal with me either. But yeah, just like the lack of caring for anything. I mean, like, I'd go to school and I'd just get by, like everything except for that year. But I just couldn't care about anything except for getting to that weekend and getting to a drink and doing whatever I wanted. Now, like, you know, drugs are part of my story. I'm going to try and, like, keep it low key and not mention them. But, you know, when I was a teenager, I also found those, outside issues, we'll call them. The first time I knew about them, it was from my mother. And, you know, I just took that and I ran with it, and I use that every day too. So it was a constant thing. It was every day. I mean, it just, you know, I got to high school. I used that to fit in. People knew I had things that they wanted at places, going to parties, you know, so that was the reason I got invited. And I see it now. I didn't see it back then, again, with the hindsight. But yeah, it was just like, you know, I was just like, I'm unwanted. You know what I mean? There wasn't like, oh, we like to be around you. It was just, oh, you have something we need. So that's why I was like, my mindset from an early age was people use people for what they want. So that's how I viewed my life and the way life goes. It's a transaction, you know, that, you know, the same type of thought just ran rapid for years in my life. You know, I got through high school, like, barely. I mean, if Neshaminy didn't go on strike the year I was graduating, I wouldn't have. They were just like, yeah, no, the teachers aren't even coming in, so, like, you're good, just go. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the school ended 2 months early, and I couldn't have been happier. Because now I get to go, you know, run rapid, and, like, it's summer. By that time I already caught like a case as a juvenile though, so it wasn't much fun because as soon as I graduated, my mom was like, hey, guess what you're doing? I was like, probably leaving, right? And she's like, yeah, you're going to live with your dad. And that's how I got up here in Gilbertsville. It's super nice. So I was like, this isn't what I want. Again, this isn't what I want, you know? And, just supreme selfishness. And it just continued. When I came here to Gilbertsville with my father, which is like, I don't know, probably the third time now that I'm living with him. Thank God. Bless his soul. He, you know, right away he was like, all right, you know, you stole a car. you're obviously not doing what you're supposed to be doing. He said, what you're going to have to do is go to college or work full time to live in this house. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do either one of them because I want to go around and I want to sell things and I want to do things with my free time that you probably won't approve of. And if I was if I were to tell you that, you'd be like, get out now. So I just wasted opportunity. I did go to college to try to appease him. That lasted one semester and I didn't go to many classes. I did, however, happen to get a B in business. So like, maybe there's something there, you know what I mean? But probably not. That was the only class I went to. That was the only class I liked. And, that's because everything was a transaction in my life. So I'm like, you got something? It's worth something. I got something. It's worth something. That was it. That was it. I didn't know how to care for someone to show compassion. And that's why I'm like extremely grateful of this program because like I can give to people without an expectation of getting anything back. And that's when I'm granted the most serenity. You know what I mean? But yeah, anyway, so. Yeah, didn't do that, you know, I didn't do what he wanted, which was probably the best thing I could have did for myself if I just applied myself, because I realize now, and they say it in the book, like, you know, us as alcoholics, with regards to everything else besides alcohol, we're pretty sound-minded. So I realized I wasn't stupid. I was just unmotivated. Actually, I was motivated. I was motivated to do whatever I wanted. It just continued to get worse. I got in a relationship with a woman. We all know how that goes. Me being the person I was, she's like, oh, well, I need somewhere to go because I don't want to, you know, listen to someone who cares about me and probably wants the best for me. I want to do whatever I want. So I move in with her and her parents, and I end up working full time anyway. Go figure. Right? So instead of a place I didn't have to pay for, that was probably the best option for me, and that would have probably allowed me to grow the most as a person, besides the affliction that I had of alcoholism, that would have grabbed me and pulled me down at whatever point anyway. I just started to make terrible decisions, and that's what we do. You know, we make the decisions that feel good right now, and we don't think about anything else. So I continue to make those decisions. I lost my license in that period, well, before that period, from that case. I didn't have a license. I ended up leaving her because she wanted to get married to me, and it was like 2 months into the relationship, and I'm 18 years old, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a rock solid plan. So at least I was like a little bit smart. You know what I mean? I was like, this ain't going to work. You're nuts. And so am I. So yeah, we just did that. And, I left, lived in my car for 2-3 months till my mom was like, hey, why don't you come back? No one's heard from you. We're all worried sick. We don't know if you're even alive because you haven't called anyone in your family in months. Ended up going back, living with her for a little bit, stuck around for a long time. I mean, I was a leech, like supreme leech. And that's what I'm good at because, you know, that's what I was good at is manipulating the people that care about me. Cause she did, she would do anything for me. And, you know, she found this husband when I was in my teenage years that was a nice, you know, stockbroker, and he had a couple dollars, and so everything got a little bit better for her, and she didn't have to do too much to have a pretty blessed life, which is good for her, you know what I mean? I love her, and her idea of being a mother was exactly that. She wanted to be a mother, and, you know, she is a good one, and but yeah, anyway, so I stayed there for a while. My stepdad got mad. I mean, and rightfully so. I have an amends I got to make to him where I stole money from him to buy certain illicit contents and things like that. and just like, yeah, I was just a terrible person, just doing whatever I wanted. But basically, like, it landed me exactly where I deserved to be. And that was, multiple DUIs, jail times, or jail time, you know, certain programs, that the, court ordered, and the judge was really adamant about me. And, first time I ever went to, AA was in Newtown to get a paper signed twice. And then I was like, I'll never see you again. I just didn't understand it. Even when I was in jail, they're like, yeah, you know, they got, you know, AA classes in there, or AA meetings. And I was just like, yeah, probably not gonna do that. You know what I mean? I'm only in here for a few months. Like, nah, I'll grab that Bible from the library though, and like sleep with it like a weirdo. You know, I'll never open it. I'll just be like, oh, bless me. I'll just hold this, and you'll know that I you know need you. You know, yeah, but you know, I got out of jail after like the second DUI, and I found another wonderful woman to spend time with. This one, yeah, I like that laugh. That was a good one. Yeah, this one I met from working at Toyota, which was basically, you know, 2 years of me working on cars very poorly. You know, using the bay after hours to make better money, selling things to people at that place of business. There were 60 mechanics there, so I made more money off the clock than I did on the clock. But it's just like, I mean, thank God none of that, like I never got caught for any of that, man, because that was like serious stuff. And, you know, I created this persona that like I thought was cool. You know, you watch a couple movies and you see like the bad guy, and he's like, oh yeah, man, he gets all the girls, he's got all the things, he's got all this and that, and like, and that's what I did because I didn't know who I was. You know what I mean? I was just trying to be what I thought was the most attractive thing. And, you know, it just got me the same result every time. It would be good for a little bit, and then it would be bad, and then I'd be in jail, you know, or I'd be on probation, or I'd be paying a couple thousand dollars for a lawyer. And, you know, it finally brought me to this point where I'm at my dad's house again after being off probation for 6 months. 6 months this time. You know how they say it progresses and your disease gets worse? And next thing you know, it's just like the revolving door of crap. That's what I was at. I couldn't even pull together a year off papers. You know what I mean? I was right back there. Got arrested again. Dude wanted to give me a DUI. This would have been my third. We all know what happens then. You're a habitual offender. And they probably want to send you upstate. You know, God bless me again. I got house arrest for 8 months. Because they like giving deals. And, but the process of getting that, like getting that third DUI essentially, man, I was nervous, I was heartbroken, and I was like, what am I doing? Why am I here again? Like, what is wrong? Why can't I just, you know, and I knew what I was doing. I was doing whatever I wanted, and I thought that repercussions didn't exist. You know what I mean? I'm like, how are you going to arrest me for living my life and doing what I want? You know, like typical guy, it's an alcoholic and an addict and thinks he can just do whatever he wants and nothing bad should ever happen. But yeah, I got to the point where I was sitting in my dad's house again for 6 months waiting for a court case, drinking, waking up, drinking a bottle every single day, and going to sleep wanting to die, waking up wanting to die. And, you know, the first blessing that I didn't even realize was one was when they put me on house arrest, they said, we're going to come check on you twice a month and make sure you're not doing things you shouldn't be doing. So I stayed sober and clean for 8 months while I was on house arrest. And I remember telling my dad, I was like, man, I feel great. You know what I mean? Like, I feel great. And I did. I did feel great. I said, I don't think I'm going to drink again. oh, yeah. Yeah, we think we're not going to drink. Yeah, great. That might sound good. He was like, you know what? That sounds awesome. And then, like, right away, like a week after I got off, I was at my buddy's barn. We're getting drunk. And I'm just trashed. Like, immediately trashed. Like, picked up right where I left off. And, you know, a couple months go by, I blow a red in my breathalyzer in the car because I got my license back because, you know, I did a refusal because obviously any smart alcoholic that's coming up on their third DUI, what are you going to ask for? The refusal, right? And honestly, like, I did that not because I was scared of the DUI. I did that because I was scared of what my father would think if they gave me that blood test and he seen everything else that was in there. You know what I mean? He knows now. Because I had a very long talk when I made an amends with him. And he said, wow, you did all that stuff? That's terrible. Like, why would you do that to yourself? And I was like, yeah, it's gripping, dude. It just grips you up and just takes you wherever it wants. So get ready for a ride if you think you can handle it. But yeah, blowing that red, I called my PO and I was like, I blew a red in my car, and I just wanted to let you know before you got the alert. And he's like, oh yeah, we don't get those, but thanks for letting us know. And I'm like, shit. but yeah, so he was like, so what happened? You know, he wants to know everything now that I told him. Now he wants to know. And I'm like, yeah, I just had way too much to drink, you know. He's like, so you got a couple DUIs. You think you're an alcoholic? And I'm like, who are you? Tell me what I am, you know. And he's like, we have programs up here at Norristown that can help you. And I was like, yeah, I know. Hey, I know what that's about to be. I'm gonna go up there, you handcuff me, and then you're gonna violate me. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to go to AA. And that's literally how I got here. I promise you. Like, that is, I came here because I thought I can avoid the imminent doom of my PO. And I came to AA and I sat here in the rooms of Cherry and got 9 months without a drink. And I was absolutely angry. Absolutely angry with life. I mean, I'd come in there and smile, and Don would say hi, and I'd be like, what's up, Don? And Travis would say hi, and he'd Snapchat me. I'd be like, yeah, everything's great, man. I'm making a lot of money. I'm working at this fence company. I'm working 60 hours. It's awesome, you know? Until I got hurt, and I wasn't working 60 hours anymore, and I sat there for a few months. And it was all my boss's fault that I got a hernia. You know, everything was everybody else's fault. I drank again. After sitting there. And it's funny, my PO is like right in the middle of COVID. He doesn't show up, right? He doesn't show up for like 2 years, right? I'm on probation for like 3.5 years or whatever. And he doesn't show up for like a year and a half or 2 years. The weekend I drink, he shows up that next Monday. I'm like, are you serious right now? I was like, all right, okay, all right, yeah. I got it. I know what you're trying to say here. Like, because like, obviously, like I knew God was out there. You know, there must be a higher power. Because, like, how am I still alive? How am I still surviving? And he asked me, he's like, so how's everything going? And I was like, dude, he's going to piss at me right now. Like, I know. And I'm standing out there shaking because I literally had drinks last night. I'm shaking. Everything's great. Yeah, you know, just a hernia hurts. I'm going in for surgery soon. And he didn't. And he didn't. And I lied to my PO. And I continued to lie to him for the rest of the time when I was on probation. And me and Travis had multiple talks about this, and I felt like it was wrong. When I started working the program, I was like, oh, I'm sitting here, I'm living in a lie. And he's like, He's like, ultimately, it's up to you. He said, I wouldn't advise you to do that, though. But that's the thing. Like, the power of choice now. That's, we got to this point, right? Made all these mistakes. I got to the point where I was spiritually broken. I called Travis 2 months after that. Travis is my sponsor now, thank God. Someone helped me out. And all I had to do was ask. It's weird. Like, you just have to not be so full of yourself to think that someone else can help you. And I had no idea what to do. Man, I was broken. I was like, how did this happen again? I didn't want to drink. You know? I didn't want to drink when I was on house arrest. I didn't want to drink for those 9 months. Like, I really didn't want to drink, but I did. I picked it up again. And honestly, when I did, I couldn't tell you why I did it. And we see that over and over again. You know what I mean? Is that mental obsession, this physical allergy? I don't know why, but I had to have one. You know? And I was just broken because I felt like I had no willpower, which, come to figure out, we don't. I didn't, you know? Not without God, not without a concept of a higher power. And, you know, the power that he gives me today is a blessing. You know, the power to come up here and speak. I'm not very comfortable speaking in front of a bunch of people, but, I'm willing to do it because this is what the people before me did in order to obtain that long-term sobriety and that good time. There's plenty of time out there, but if you have good recovery, that's what I'm seeking. You know what I mean? Because I was so lost trying to fit in, trying to do everything, you know, my way. I'll be good if I got this. I'll be good if I got this. The only thing that seemed to work is this, which I know it's because I'm an alcoholic and I'm a real alcoholic, because there's two questions that you got to ask yourself to know if you're an alcoholic. Can you stop after a few drinks? And when you stop, can you remain stop? And I couldn't do either one of them. You know, I could for a period, but never forever, you know? And I don't look at it that way today either. You know, I honestly don't even think about the rest of the time. I just think about right now. Now, this meeting I've been thinking about for weeks now. Like, what am I going to say? Probably say it wrong. But yeah, I mean, the blessings are immense, and it's all from, like, just giving myself back to the program, giving myself back to someone who needs help, you know? And I didn't realize, like, it was that simple. Like, we live our whole lives as alcoholics, or at least I did, as what can I get for myself? And it never brought me anything, you know? And as soon as I changed that mindset because of this, because that's what they told me to do. This is this program tells you to be selfless. And I'm like, oh, my whole problem, my whole life was I was selfish, self-seeking, self-pity, remorse, you know, like all that, you know, the fears, the anxiety, all that is selfish. And you know, this program's given me the ability to escape that, even if it's just for a second. Pray just for a second. You know what I mean? Like, I prayed 3 times before I came here. Because this isn't me. I would be lost, you know? And if I didn't do the work required, I wouldn't know what to say either. But, that surrender of myself to something that was greater. And at first I didn't know what it was, and I was just willing to listen to someone. It took me 2 months after that last drink that I had to call someone and ask for help. When I called Travis, he was like, you need to go to rehab, dude. You sound terrible. And I'm like, no, I had a pretty good day, actually. Like, I didn't work, but, like, I'm freaking out. Like, you know, like, I can't deal with myself. Like, I'm scared. I'm paranoid. I think my PO is going to show up again. And am I going to drink? You know what I mean? Like, I'm probably going to drink if I sit here any longer and feel this way any longer. You know, because I went to meetings. Like, it was one a week. You know, I just had to go in there so I could tell my PA I went to meetings. And I didn't know if he was tracing my car. That's what I'm talking about. Tracking my car. I'm like, yo, you're paranoid, dude. When I finally started to learn, like, the way my brain works, like, you're nuts, dude. I gotta tell you, I'm going to meetings, but, like, that breathalyzer might have a GPS in it. Even though months ago he told me I don't even pay attention to that, dude. I don't know, like, but, like, that's my mind as an alcoholic. Feared up, man. And, I just was spiritually broken. I was like, I am the weakest form of a man I've ever seen. You know, and there's no one to blame because now I know, because I've been in enough meetings to hear about the accountability. Like, I know it's me, you know, like it's no one else. It's not my upbringing. None of that matters. We all have different stories, but we all relate. Why do you think, you know, because we're all alcoholics. We all share that one thing. Can't stop drinking. We want to, you know, like we're detrimental to other people, detrimental to our relationships, can't have healthy ones. We want them. We seek these things that normal people can do, and we can't, you know? And that's what I wanted. I just wanted a normal life or anything as close to normal as possible. And I never had that when I was out there. And I didn't even have that when I was in there, not doing any work. And, like, that's the real message, like, you can come here and sit through 1,000 meetings, and if you're not doing anything, like, you're not getting the prize. And that's what I did, and hopefully I don't ever have to relearn that again. You know, God willing, I don't ever have to figure that out again. And as long as I keep doing the work, I don't think I'll ever have to figure that out. And that's why I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, I love all of you, and you're all here because you want to be here. You know what I mean? Whether you want to or not, you're here, so it means you wanted to. You know? But yeah, that surrender was something. Like, I never felt that before. I was like, I'm hopeless. I have no power. Like, I felt like I was nothing. You know what I mean? But it was the most beautiful nothing ever because someone was about to help me. And I knew it worked because I seen him change. I sat in the rooms and I watched people change. And I watched the person I asked help me change. And so I knew it worked. I knew something worked. And, like, I was willing to try anything at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he immediately took me under his wing. And first thing he said was go to as many meetings as possible. Get people's numbers. Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So that's what I did. Went to meetings, talked to people, like got in constant communication with the program, with other people, and, you know, started working that first step, dude. And I already knew that first step. Like, I was insane. The way I thought my whole life was insane. Thinking I could just go back out there and just have another one and pick another drink up or pick whatever else up with impunity, like the rest of the normal people get to do, right? And it's just false, man. It's a delusion. And I'm so glad that someone, like, punched that into my brain, that all those events happened to punch that into my brain. And, you know, naturally, me being insane, the next step is to find, is to believe in a power that it can, you know, relieve my insanity. And I desperately needed that, so the second and third step were pretty easy. Read Bill's story, read doctor's opinion, relate about it. I mean, how could you not? It's us, you know? You know, and that's what I mean by these stories. Like, we all have a different story, but we're all exactly the same in the patterns and, you know, the detrimental actions that we have, and just, like, the spiritual malady that is so great that brings us to the breaking point of being hopeless. And so, yeah, you know, just living for God's will, because as soon as you're done the second step, like, it's time to make a decision, and then it's time for rigorous action, right? So what do we do with that? You know, I was like, yeah, let me jump right. He's like, yeah, just, you know, jump into this inventory, be honest and be thorough. And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And so I did it. And then I stopped. And then I was like, all right, I'm pretty busy with work. And then I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you're doing the same thing. You don't want to do this? And I remember I was still working at that fence place, and I still had a resentment against my boss, and I still thought it was his fault. But I had an idea of the accountability. And as soon as I wrote that down in the fourth step, I was on a business trip for that fence company. And we were doing training, which I was like, this is dumb. I already know how to do this. This guy is stealing money from you. And so it took a lot of time to, like, even though I was like, God, let me do your will, you know, like, and just inviting him to work through me, like, I was still myself, you know. And I had to work on that every day. Like, third step, I tell people all the time, and I share it freely, like, I have to do that every day. Because if I don't make that conscious decision, like, I will do my own will, you know? I did that fourth step. We were on a business trip. I was in my room. They were out to the bar, a bunch of people that I was working with, and I'm like, dude, I'm not going with you. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go to a strip club in Indiana anyway. Like, I'm sure the girls there aren't great. You know what I mean? Like, but no, that's besides the point. I was like, all right, like, you got to get this done. You know what I mean? Cause I was hearing the whole, like, oh, you got 3 months. And if you're not doing it in 3 months, you're not going to do it. And you're going to drink again. You know? And I was like, man, I'm scared of shit. Like, so I did. So I did it. In a span of like 5 or 6 hours, I wrote down probably 75% of the people, just making that list. Big book step study way. Just making a list of everybody I've ever encountered. And I slowly tacked on over the next following weeks, like, a few other people. And, like, I started to do that four step and, you know, write their names out, their resentments, what it affected with me. And then, like, the best part is the part I played. And that just cleared everything up for me. You know what I mean? So regardless of what I thought they did to me, because a lot of it was delusion, I lived in it, you know, we're insane. A lot of stuff I had resentments on the way I thought people thought about me. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? That's not even reality, right? We're insane. Delusion. And, like, so the accountability that I had to grasp from that. And, you know, one of the biggest ones at the time was I was working for a boss where I had a resentment for. And when I wrote it down, I realized, like, none of that was his fault. You know what I mean? I worked too hard, right? I worked too hard, didn't allow people to help me like a true alcoholic does. I wouldn't allow you to help me because you wouldn't do it right. You wouldn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. So there's no way I'd let you do that. Even though I'm supposed to be a foreman, I'm supposed to teach you, right? I'll teach you, and then if you still don't get it, I'm going to yell at you. And that's the type of person I was. And, you know, so I got hurt working really hard and not letting people help. That's my fault. You know what I mean? But, yeah, so, like, that fourth step really cleared everything up. All my fears, the inadequacies that I had, and a large amount of them were lies I was telling myself. And it was just, like, I'm going to say astounding to really review myself in that light of being completely honest, because I was a master at lying to myself and telling myself it was everybody else's fault. But yeah, that coming to that fifth step, like speaking all that into existence with someone else and God, it relieved me of so much of the things that, like, the all the fears, all the inadequacies, all those, you know, terrible things that I dealt with in my own head. Somehow got a little bit easier, and I felt more relaxed. And I could be calm and at peace a little bit more. And I knew I was, like, gaining ground on this program, you know? I see myself change. Other people seen it before me and told me. That's how I knew. Because I was like, you're still a piece of shit. You know, I'm sorry for cursing. But, yeah, and then it was like, okay, now you know all these things. Now what are we going to do about it? You know, how about those defects? You want to work on them? And I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, this is where the answer lies, right? And I knew that, you know? And I knew that for a fact, man. Just the relief I got so far. And that was after a few months. I think it was like 4 or 5 months, maybe. I was like, yeah. And they started showing me, you know, I wrote a list of my defects, my shortcomings. And, I was like, I don't want to be these things. You know what I mean? I don't want to be feared up. I don't want to manipulate. I want to be an honest guy that, you know, can be at peace and live at peace, you know? And, you know, be a channel of joy and compassion and not someone who always just needs for or wants for or is just taking and taking and taking. And, cause that never got me anything. And I started realizing like that was my problem. My problem was selfishness. And the whole program is so you can get a better understanding, a conscious connection with God, you know, and the thing that blocks us from that is the selfishness. And, I will say that every single time and I will continue to say that. Some people have other perspectives and that's fine and I respect them, but mine is everything that I've ever done came from pure selfishness, the fears and everything else. So yeah, 7 comes, right? And this is another step you got to work on every day, because if you don't, the 3rd and 7th step will creep up on you. As soon as I start acting in my own will and acting on my character defects and not acting in the assets and being selfish, I'm not working God's will anymore. And I know that because I feel it. So, you know, that's a hard one too, because like people wrong you and it's fine. Like, that's what people do. We have to have patience and tolerance as if this man was sick, a sick friend. And over time, I got better at that. I almost have 2 years. November 6th, I'll have 2 years. And it seems like the more I work on it and the more I'm conscious about my actions, my decisions to be, either talking down to someone, talking down about someone, or whether I'm trying to help them because I know that they're hurting. Like when someone wrongs me, it's because they're hurting in some sort of way. You know what I mean? So I could take it two ways. I can give it back to them and take my will back and be the old John, or I can help them and try to relieve them of themselves a little bit. But yeah, so that's what I just try and work step 7. So I don't have to work step 3. And don't have to add a step 4. But yeah, 8. That list was pretty easy. I already had it in step 4. I made, some big amends. The first one was obviously my father. It's pretty easy too when you live with him again, you know? But yeah, I mean, that was like, that conversation was like he teared up, I teared up, I spilled the beans on everything that I've ever done in my whole entire life, which is more than I said here. Like, I mean, we talked for hours and he didn't have anything like, you know, that like, yeah, I deserve that. Thanks for doing that. You know what I mean? You're a real piece of crap for a long time. It was like, I'm so glad you found this. You know? He's like, none of that matters. Like, you're good now. Man, that was so freeing to be able to tell someone that. Cause there was a lot of stuff that I didn't tell anyone. You know? Obviously one person knows a lot in this room, but yeah. So, yeah, just I'm still working on the amends. living in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, that personal inventory, you know, like I said, just like anything else, you gotta work on that every day. Just like you gotta work on 7 and 3 and pretty much all the other steps too. But yeah, it's something I gotta work on because some days I act accordingly and some days I don't. And, accordingly for me now is without resentment, without fear, without insecurities, you know, without anger. Some days that just, I just don't, you know, and that's the truth. Like, come up here and you're supposed to be honest. That's the truth. Like, I don't always do that. And, but that's what that 10 steps for. And the more I work that, the more I see myself, wanting to escape how I used to be, which is all those defects that I just mentioned. Prayer is big. I'm like, at first, you know, when I was like super, you know, when I first came in here, it was like every day, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, however many times I needed to pray. You know, as things got better, like, cause things get better if you stop drinking, believe it or not, even if like you just hang around, like they do get better cause we're better people and we make better decisions when we're not extremely messed up. So things get better. I'm off probation. You know what I mean? Stuff gets better. I forget how bad it was for a second until I get uncomfortable and I know why, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And prayer is one of them huge things for me, man. I'll just forget to do it and I'll be like, I'm good. And, a couple days go by, I'll meditate on prayer. No, I don't pray. And, right back in that really uncomfortable feeling again. So I try to keep that in my mind, to do that every day, even if I don't feel like I need to. Cause there's a lot of stuff I feel like I don't need to do, but I do. I do need to do. As far as 12 goes, I believe I had a spiritual experience in the third step because I just knew if I did this, like, I'd be alright. You know what I mean? I trusted that if I did my best in this program, like, I would have relief from this affliction, and I do. Like, I went to my brother's wedding when I was 11 months sober, and multiple people asking me, do you want to drink? And I was like, nah, good. And they're like, what do you mean you're good? Like, you don't want to drink? Like, your brother's getting married. And I'm like, that's cool, man. I was like, if I have a drink right now, this isn't going to be a good event anymore. You know what I mean? And it's not because I'm like some super badass, like, dude, you know what I mean? Like, I am a depressive at nature, and alcohol is a depressive substance. You know what I mean? Like, we never mix great, you know? I fight you, whatever. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Like, I just wasn't a good drunk. And so, like, I just knew I had to escape that, and I did. And this program allowed me to do it. So what I do is, to the best of my ability, I help other people try and find the solution, which is the work. You know, the problem's pretty clear. I think we all know it. But in case you didn't know, in case you don't know it, there's like 90 pages before the fourth step that tell you why you need those first three steps. If you look at like step 4, 5, 6, 7, like there are a few pages, a few paragraphs, but they really wanted to make sure you knew why you're an alcoholic, what your problem is, what the solution is, and how can you obtain that, you know? And it's only through a vital spiritual experience, a psychological change. And I believe I had that, even though I fight with myself all the time for what I want, what God wants. And it's a back and forth thing. But I just try my best to live more in God's will than my own. And for the most part, it works. I've helped some people. I sponsored some men. You know, to be honest, actually all of them, they, you know, one was like, I don't want to do this. Literally, just like I asked him the other week, I'm like, so you want to get on that reading? And he's like, no. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let me know if you want to. You know what I mean? I got one that moved, found a girl that was the answer to all his problems. That's cool. Whatever you want. Let me know if you come back. And then, you know, I got one that got a couple months, went back out, didn't know it was wrong, didn't know why I kept doing the things I did. And I'm like, did you try and, like, read any of the things that I told you to read? Because that's pretty, like, it explains it pretty well. You know, he just went back out recently, and it's just like, I came to this realization because, like, that shit hurt my pride. Like, that hurts my ego. I know I shouldn't have it, and I'm sorry about going over right now. It's not, like, I don't have the ability to make someone want this. You know what I mean? And that's what I came, you know, to realize. And that's another surrender piece right there. It's just like, yo, I can't make anybody want to do this. Like, if you want to go back out and continue to drink and get some more pain, like, bro, who am I to stand in your way? I did it for years, you know? But I'm always willing to be here for the next person that wants to do this program, you know? You know, luckily I had someone there for me that taught me how to get through it and how to enjoy my life again. Like, it's just a beautiful night, man. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than here. You know? So, thanks for letting me share. My name's Sean. I'm out of Baltimore.